Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
Today, as you take your seat, we go line upon line, precept upon precept in the Word of God. As you all know, we're in part number, if you five, and how, listen to these words, how to control your life. Someone is going to control your life. Something is going to control your life. It's amazing to me at how many people that have been made free by Jesus Christ still find themselves in bondage to things, addictions to things, find themselves still operating in ways that keep them from being in all that God would have for them. If we could only learn how to control our life, then my goodness, it would change everything. So what we've done is we've looked at the Word of the Lord and found out what God's Word says. And I just want to share with you, if I may, out of Galatians, the fifth chapter. Remember how we found in verse number 16, where God is speaking to us, and He says these words. He says, I say again, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And if you look at that, remember how we jumped from there to understand how walking in the Spirit, what it means. A lot of people think walking in the Spirit is just being very spiritual, acting spiritual, maybe with the spiritual gifts coming out all the time. That's not what walking in the Spirit means. The word walking means to live out life. God's requesting of us. You notice how He's not suggesting to us. He is requesting of us to walk in the Spirit. God would not ask you to do something you can't do. The reason you don't do it is, number one, you don't want to, or maybe you don't think it's important, or you don't take it serious, or you just don't know how to live out life in the Spirit. Then it comes along in that same verse, and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. In other words, God wouldn't tell us that, you know, we're immune to the lust of the flesh, or we, now that we're saved, we don't have a problem with our flesh. He makes it very clear that if you're going to be saved, you're going to have a problem with the lust of the flesh unless you start doing something, and that's living out life in the Spirit. And we're learning how to do that. In order for you to learn and understand how to do that, we found out what the Bible says we're made up of. Did you know you can't do something if you don't know what you're made out of to do? In other words, if I'm going to fix an engine of an automobile, I got to know the parts and how they work in order to understand how to put it back together. And you are made up of body, soul, and spirit. Do you remember that? Three parts. Body, soul, and spirit. And the Bible describes the body as the flesh. That's the carnality, if you will. That's the worldliness. That's where you get your feelings from. And in your feelings, you come along and you make expressions and you live life out according to what society or the social systems tell you. It's called the flesh. The second part of you is the soul. That's your thinking, your will, your emotions. That's where you gather the data of life, come to a place where you accumulate it, and then you come to a place where you make decisions for your directions by your thinking process and what you've gathered. And the third area of your life, in order to take control of your life, you've got to understand that you are spirit, that the human spirit is now born of the Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you. Wow. And we also found out some things. So let me rewind your thinking about talking about how, if you will, to walk in the Spirit. If that's a commandment from God, God wants us to do that. This is not just a suggestion, but God desires us to do that. Then we're going to have to understand some things. We found out that if any two of these parts work together, it voids out the power of the third. Remember, I showed you that scripturally. For an example, we also found out the body and the spirit cannot work together. The Bible says in Galatians, the fifth chapter, verse number 17, that they are at enmity, are enemies of each other. They war against each other. It's like a positive and negative pole on a magnet. It's like oil and water. They just don't work together. Most Christians don't understand that principle. And you try to get your flesh to line up with your spirit, and it doesn't work. It only lasts for a little while. Has anybody ever been there? And they don't work together at all. They're at war with each other. So if it's true that any two parts work out and void out the power of the third, then the whole battle of your life is over that soul. Because now the flesh has to, the body has to work with the soul. And when the body works with the soul, it voids out the power of the spirit. That's why we do so many carnal things, worldly things. And then we found out if the spirit works with the soul, and the spirit is always directed by the word of God, but if the spirit works with the soul, then we found out it voids out the power of the flesh. And then we are now working and walking and living out life in the Spirit. And that's what he's describing for us. There's a right side of doing things, and there's a left side of doing things. The right side, of course, would be the spirit and soul working together, voiding out the power of the body and the flesh. Not the left side, where the flesh works with the soul and voids out the power of the Spirit. We also found out that the Bible describes that when the Spirit works with the soul together, it's something the Bible calls as life. Life that's brought about by love and faith and hope and light. In other words, when I read my Bible and I want to have life in my marriage, then I've got to apply what the things that the Spirit is going to say to my soul. My soul lines up with the Spirit of God, which is always speaking by the Word of God. And I find myself walking in the Spirit that brings life to my marriage. If I don't do that and I just bring my feelings into it, or my ideologies or my philosophies into it, or my upbringing, background, and make decisions based on that, then I find myself on the left side, finding myself voiding out the power of the Spirit. And the Bible says when you're on the left side, it brings death. Because it's now motivated by desires and passions and sin and lust instead of the things of God. So when God makes a statement to us, he says, walk in the Spirit or live out life in the Spirit. He's really talking about a right side experience. And then he comes along and says, don't fulfill the lusts of the flesh, left side experience. And that's why I gave you that little card that you can hold up and keep. No matter what the problem is, if you can apply this in your life, it works. Can I say this to you? God would never tell you to do something you can't do. So if this gets done, it won't get done because someone waves a magic wand over your head. Or some anointed preacher comes to town, you know, throws oil all over you, takes up a big offering and then leaves, and hopefully you get it so that all of a sudden you're living your life on the right side. It doesn't work that way. You're going to, just like me, have to put the right side experience to work in every area of my life. If I've got addictions, if I've got problems, if I've got trials, if I've got issues, if I've got things that are holding me back, I have now got to get my thinking lined up with the Spirit of God, and I've got to get someplace with that. And that's called right side. And it won't be very long before I am seeing the benefit life. If I don't, I find myself in a place of death. So let's put it all up and see how it all works. This is how it all works. And that's the picture that you have that you can put. Like for an example, if you're on a diet, on a refrigerator, have you ever noticed how the refrigerator has a voice and talks to you all the time? It tells you about come and open the door and look inside, see if there's food inside. Oh, shut up. The voice is now attacking your soul. If you think about the food too long, guess what happens? You'll eat it. Won't be very long before you're discouraged with yourself. You just don't like yourself. And you find yourself, when it comes to getting healthy, you find yourself in a position of death. In other words, your diet just died. Is anybody listening? And so all of us need to know how to do this. And I want to share with you, starting last week, and I'll rewind your thinking about this last week, is very important on how to live on the right side. It's not just what to do, not what it means. That's fine. That's good. But I want to know practically what I can do to literally be on the right side so that I can make the decisions and go in the directions and have life the way God would have me to have life, not the way I just hope to have life, but the way I can really do my part and have God have me to have life. So how do I live on the right side? Remember last week, we talked out of 2 Corinthians, some famous verses for Debbie and I, because we've lived in them all of our life. We found out 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, If you're in your Bible, just get it open and go with me to verse number 3. It says, for though we walk in the flesh. Now I want you to stop right there. Look back up at me. Verse number 3 says this, and I'm going to give you on how to walk in the Spirit and how to live life in the Spirit. Listen to this on the right side. It says, though we walk in the Spirit, you're in the flesh. You've got to understand this. Though you walk in the flesh, you're in the flesh. You don't want to get rid of your flesh or you die. So you got to control your flesh. So watch this. So we're in the flesh. We do not war according to the flesh. The word war jumps out at you here. And the reason it jumps out is you've got to get to the place where you understand something. In order for you to live out life on the right side, you've got to understand that you are in a battle. Notice what verse number four comes along and says, for the weapons of our warfare, there's another battle right there. In other words, you and I have got to come to a place, our not carnal left side, but our mighty through God of the pulling down of strongholds right side. Is anybody getting this? And he makes it very clear to us, in order for us to be overcomers in areas, you're going to have to be on the right side. But there's a war. Here was number one from last week. And I won't go into detail. Get the CD if you need to. But here's number one, is that you've got to take your battle serious. Nobody's going to take the battle serious. I can't do it for you. One guy came to church one time and someone asked him at work, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? He says, I don't know. Ask my pastor. That's not going to work because I'm not taking those calls. You need to know how to do this yourself. You need to realize that you're never going to win a battle till you get serious about the battle. Number two, if we go on looking at the scripture, here we find in chapter number 10 of the 2 Corinthians, in verse number 5, it says, casting down imaginations or arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Number two is that you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to be one of those people who cast off wrong thinking, wrong thoughts. Cast them away. Get them away from you. There's going to be a wrong thought come every moment at your life trying to capture the war is for your brain, for your thinking. And if your thinking goes to wrong thoughts and stays there, won't be long before your left side, death, instead of right side, life. And the battle is over your thinking. This is the arena of your soul is here. This is the fight. If it can get your thinking off track, you'll find yourself failing all the time. Instead of walking in the Spirit, you're now going to walk in the lust of the flesh. Why? Because your thinking now went to what your flesh said instead of what God said. And there's a war going on. And you need to, number one, take it serious. Number two, you're going to have to cast off wrong thoughts. Every day they come in, get rid of them. Every day they come in. They come in another minute. They come in another 10 seconds, 20 seconds, 30 seconds. Another 2 minutes, 5 minutes. They keep coming at you. Cast them off. Cast them off. Don't stop and camp with them. Get rid of them. That's what this is all about. Now, we're talking about how to live on the right side. We're talking about very important on how to do this. This is simply how to live on that right side that we're talking about, walking in the Spirit. Here is number 3. I'm going to use some words as I give you number 3, and then I'm going to explain what I mean by these words. And you may not quite understand them, but I want to share them with you anyway. I'll explain them to you. Speak a supernatural word of God. Listen to what I'm going to say to you. Remember the word in verse number 5? It says, cast down imagination and exalt itself above the knowledge of God and bring into every thought into the captivity to the obedience of Christ. In other words, get your thoughts captive to what God says, God's word. And may I say this to you, don't just leave it in your mind, but get faith behind it. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I suggest to you that if you're going to be on the right side, don't just think what the word of God has to say. Start speaking it over your very existence. Speak the word of God. There's something that happens on the inside of you, and the word of God has a creative ability to create itself. It is a supernatural word of God. A lot of people don't understand what I'm going to say to you right now. Everybody that's a Christian agrees that it's an inspired word of God. Everybody that's a Christian says, oh, it's good. We need to read the word of God. We need to be a people that understand and believe that is the Word of God. And when I read the Word of God and when I talk the Word of God, that's good. But you need to have a concept, and so do I, that this is not just inspired. Oh, you got to hear it again. You need to have a concept, and so do I, that this is just not inspired. Let me tell you something. You need to have a concept, and so do I. One more time, listen to this. You need to have a concept, and so do I. We have to have a firm belief that this is not just inspired. This is the supernatural Word of God. Listen to this. When I say supernatural, it is not just natural. I can speak natural words to you to do nothing. But the supernatural gets in and creates itself. And you'll find that when the Word of God is used in a situation, it's not just inspired. It is supernatural. It has the ability to go in and create itself. And you need to speak the supernatural Word of God. A lot of people have a hang up with that. Let me ask you a question. If I asked you if Jesus was supernatural, would you have a hang up? Not a bit. You know Jesus is supernatural. Absolutely. He's not natural. He is supernatural. Nobody in this room is going to disagree with Jesus is supernatural. Well, the problem with it is if you believe Jesus is supernatural, you've got to believe the Word of God is supernatural. Let me prove it to you. Go with me to John 1:1. In John 1:1 it says, in the beginning, John 1:1 was the Word. Notice the capitalization of the word Word. That word means God. It's capitalized. In the beginning was the Word. Notice the capitalization next to it. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Now let's find out who this is. Listen to this. Listen to this. And verse number 2 comes along. And He. Now all of a sudden it came from the Word to He. The He is Jesus. He was in the beginning with God. Listen to this. Verse number 3. And all things that were made through Him. And without Him nothing was made. Number 4, let's find out verse number 4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. We're talking about Jesus. And I have any problem with Jesus being supernatural. He is supernatural, but so is the Word. Now watch this in verse number 14. In verse 14, just pop it up, verse 14, it says, and the Word, capitalization, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. Who is that? Jesus. You have to believe in the inside of your heart that when the Word of God is used over your life, it is a super, not natural, it is a supernatural Word of God that's going to create something in your life. And see, most people who call themselves Christians don't even have a concept of that. Don't have a concept of that. Listen. I gotta just give you this. You just gotta understand this. Here's how the process works. There's a process to everything. There's a way things work. God the Father thinks it or plans it. Jesus speaks it. And the Holy Spirit creates it. That's the process of the Trinity. God the Father thinks it. Jesus speaks it. And the Holy Spirit creates it. Now let me show you that right from the very get-go. Genesis, first chapter, verse number 1. Are you ready? In the beginning, God. Circle it in your Bible, God. Created the heavens and the earth. We don't have a problem with that. God the Father created the heavens and the earth. Verse number 2, watch this. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. So here's the Holy Spirit. What's He doing? He's hovering over. He's like an eagle looking for the prey. Verse 3. And God said, let there be light. There was light. I don't know if you know this or not. Verse number 1, put it back up there. God the Father. Verse number 2, Holy Spirit. Verse number 3, Jesus. God said, and God said, and God said, and God said, and God said, Jesus. just love that. God the Father thinks it, or plans it, wills it, desires it. Jesus speaks it, and the Holy Spirit creates it. I want you to know something. That same God that created the heavens and the earth, that same Holy Spirit that was hovering, that same Word is on the inside of you. Now, hold on. Before you get wild, I just want to prove you some more. Is that okay? Because I want you to walk out of here just thinking it's okay. It ain't okay until you get it. Because I'm not doing this for you. Are you following me now? Here's what I want to share with you. Listen to this. In Hebrews, we're talking about the supernatural. Speaking the supernatural Word of God. In other words, I'm casting down imaginations that exalt themselves above the knowledge of God. Remember verse number 5? And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience. What's the obedience but the Word of God? Of Christ. So I not only have it in my mind, thought, I'm going to speak it, and the Holy Spirit's going to create it. Is anybody listening? Now, I want you to get this. I want you to hit this because this is so good for you that it'll change your whole existence that you're living in right now. But you've got to see that the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, is supernatural, not just inspired. Hebrews 12th chapter. Fourth chapter, verse number 12. It says this, for the Word of God is living. Wait a minute. You have to understand, Word of God's on my lap. Word of God's in ink. Word of God's in paper. Word of God, here it is. It's a book. I bought it at the bookstore. It's just a book like all the other books that are out there. It's a book. It's just a piece of paper. Oh, no, it's not. It's a heartbeat, passions. It's a desire. It's the will of God expressed. And not to sit on the ink, but to be spoken from your mouth, from your heart, in faith that creates. For the Word of God is living and powerful. I wonder how powerful, when God says something's powerful, how powerful is that? I mean, a little bit of power or a whole lot of power? I mean, when God says powerful, I wonder if there's a limit to how powerful it is. Could it be so powerful that it speaks and planets exist in solar systems? That's what my Bible says Jesus did. He speaks and planets and solar systems exist. Wait a minute, that's pretty powerful. And sharper, now here's the supernatural part for you and I. Sharper than a two-edged sword. Why is it a two-edged sword? Because it's piercing. But it doesn't just pierce, listen to what it pierces. The soul, even to the division of the soul and the spirit. Hello, joints and marrow. I'm talking about body, soul, and spirit. The Word of God gets right in to what your makeup is. And it is the discerner. Listen to this word. The word discerner says understander. It is the clarifier. It is the one that makes it right. Is the Word of God comes in and tells you what the right thing is that you are supposed to do. And it goes right in between your body, soul, and spirit. Thoughts and intents of the heart. That's pretty supernatural. Some people speak, you know, words just fall off of them. Because it's not anything powerful. But when it becomes the Word of God that's not just inspired, but supernatural. Wow. Well, let's just take it out for a moment. We're talking about speaking a supernatural Word of God. Not just keeping it in your thoughts, but bringing it in thoughts into captivity to the supernatural Word of God. The obedience of Christ. We're talking about understanding that this is the process. God the Father thinks it. Jesus speaks it. And the Holy Spirit creates it. Whew. Real quick, one more quick verse just to kind of give you some insight. When they talk about the armor of God in Ephesians, the sixth chapter, it says, put on the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, but it comes to verse 17. In verse 17, it says this, and take the helmet of salvation. And listen to this, the sword of the Spirit. What's the sword of the Spirit? That which is sharper than a two-edged sword that goes and gets the job done supernatural, which is the Word of God. Now stop, think about this. The picture the Bible gives of Jesus in the book of Revelation coming back again is Jesus, and what's out of his mouth? A sword. You say, well, the Father thinks it. I understand that. Jesus speaks it. Holy Spirit creates it. Now put back up our last overhead and let's take a look at it all again. Here's how it works in this particular one. God the Father speaks to you and gives you insight in his will, what he wants for you. He thinks now through you. You apply the word of God to it by keeping your thoughts and your minds in obedience, and the Holy Spirit creates it. I didn't say you were God, but you are made in the image of God. And if you're made in the image of God, then therefore God gives you the thoughts. You put the word of God that is supernatural to work, and it creates itself, and the Holy Spirit creates what it is you're believing God for. Now, this is part number 5. You're going to love part number 6. I can't do any of this for you. Nobody can. There isn't anybody that's going to come along and make this happen for you. I really wish I could. Then you could make me a hero in the church. Then you could put a lot of guards around me and buy my tapes for $1 billion and, you know, have T-shirts with my picture on them. It doesn't work that way. I have to do this just like you do. I am the same as you. Cut out the bull. And let's get down to some facts. This is how you walk in the Spirit. This is not how you just hope to be in the Spirit. This is not some Pentecostal experience. It's a full-blown Christian experience, which is above just a Pentecostal experience. It's a Christian experience. And I'm going to say this to you. I'm not belittling any Pentecostal experiences. Thank God for all of them. We speak in tongues here. We believe in healing here. We lay hands on the sick here. We do all of that stuff. We believe in the anointing of the oil. All of that is fabulous. But I'll tell you what, doesn't do you one bit of good till you live your life out in the Spirit. And the way to do that is right side, not left side. And the only one that can make a choice is you. And someone needs to love you enough and respect you enough and honor you enough to tell you you're the only one that could do it. Now listen to what I'm saying. The other night on Wednesday night after we preached, we drove out this back parking lot over here on Caroline. There's a big giant sign there. And the sign says, right turn only. I'm behind all the church people. Just got out of church. Just praising God. Telling God how wonderful they are. Right turn only. Every car in front of me made a left turn. Every car. And I'm thinking, in the left side of me spoke. Left side said, and you're going to teach them the depth of the Word of God when they can't even follow a sign in front of their car? Now, you may not know this, but the fastest way out of this parking lot is to make a right turn, make a left on Gardena, down to Redlands Boulevard. There the policeman will make you make a right. Legal, go up 200 yards, make a U-turn back down to Waterman Avenue. Listen, it's okay. They said it's legal. I'm paying $150,000 to put a stoplight in there. It's legal. It's not illegal. You go up 200 yards, you make a U-turn, come back down towards Waterman on Redlands Boulevard, and can I tell you something? Then you pop on the freeway while everybody else is cussing themselves out at the front gate. But oh no, the big sign, right turn only. I believe you can do this. My right side says you can do this. Come on, if God spoke to you today, you're going to love number 6. Give the Lord a great big praise.
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.